Shout out to Alvin DeLauro. Can I get a deca? Yeah. It's a Friday. All day. And I've got a ton of show. Lots of show on this Friday. What's going on? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, you're going to have to give me a minute or so to lay out the entire program. Lots to get done in the next 3 hours. Let's go ahead and get it. Something we've been trying to do is stretch out the interviews over the course of the program itself. That way I can get you involved early and often. Early and often. Use the phone. Pick it up. Call now. 1-800-636-8686. What I mean by that is this. I do not have an interview until 40 past, meaning you're open right now. I think part of the frustration may have stemmed in the past from, yeah, great, Rome, good show open. I want to react to it, but you always stick an interview right there at 9:20. I'm not doing that so much anymore. I've opened it up to you. Because I am opening it up to you, I want you to get involved and take advantage of it. 1-800-636-8686. I'm messing with the format a little bit. You can also shoot me a tweet at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, Friday normally is a two-interview day because we have a lot to cover going into the weekend, and I try to set up the big head. He's back. So the whole thing lays out like this. Coming up at 40 past, I've got Vincent Goodwill, a senior NBA writer for Yahoo. Top of hour number two, Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. So you see what I did there? Open segment belongs to me. Next segment is yours. Then back-to-back interviews. That means call now. 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of the big head, James Kelly coming in at 10:40. 1:40 Eastern time. He has not come around much of late because the NFL season ended, but there is a major fight card this weekend in Vegas. So the big head is back. He's going to tell you what he's going to hit. Get down. Make you some money. In hour number three, Alvin's iconic week that was, and we are talking hockey today. Head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Sheldon Keefe, will be joining us. The one thing I have not done yet this week that I want to do, recap episode number 165 of the Jim Rome podcast with legendary Gaucho Brian Shaw. So I will be doing that. All right, now you know what we're talking about. Get it? Let me start off by saying Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah, you know I feel for you. You know I'm here for you. You know this has always been a pre, or I should say, pro-Utah show for decades. Even when you were hammered as Weak Take Lake, I had your back. Hell, we had a tour stop back in the day. You know how strongly I feel about you, how much you all mean to the program. We have roots. We go way back. Carl Malone, for instance, was a legend on this show back in the day. He was a fixture. Rick Majerus was a legend in the jungle back in the day. You know that. Don't forget that. Especially when you hear what you're about to hear. Because what you're about to hear is going to sting. It's going to sting. Just know that I always have your back. And I always will have your back. But it has been a tough couple of days for the Jazz. Wednesday night, for instance, Joel Embiid ripped their hearts out in regulation. Then Tobias Harris carved them in OT. After that game, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert let everybody know what they thought about the officiating. In case you forgot, this is what Donovan had to say.
Never, ever wanted to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. You know, there have been games like this that we've won. There have been games like this that we've lost, but this whole refereeing stuff and the way we're nice, we don't complain, we don't get frustrated. You know, we fight through things, and the fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this, you know, like we won this game, in my personal opinion, you know. But like I said, I'm gonna give them credit; they won, whatever, cool. But like, it's a consistent thing, and you know, the question is, can we do it? Can we sustain it? Are we for real number one? Like, yeah, the hell we are, and it's getting ridiculous, KK, that this is what's happening.
That is truly one of the greatest crackbacks on the officials I've ever heard. It's getting effing ridiculous that this is happening. And believe me, this guy was not the only one saying that. His star teammate, Rudy Gobert pretty much said the exact same thing.
You know, our guys, I'm not able to get some calls that everybody else in the league gets. So we know that with the Utah Jazz, and maybe some people don't want to see us go as far as I believe that we can go, but it's disappointing. Three times in a row, Mike Conley is going to the rim. They're grabbing him right in front of the officials, and there's no call. And on the other side, there's calls that are invisible that are being made. I think it's disrespectful.
I'll tell you what. You know what? I hear them. I do. It's got to suck when you lose a game on the road that you feel like you could have won. You feel like you did win, but it doesn't go in the books as a dub because the refs did not do their jobs, especially when you feel like you did yours. I get it, but, and there is a but, there is a but here. Like I said yesterday, I don't think this is about the refs not liking the Utah Jazz. I don't think this is about the refs having it out for the Utah Jazz. It's more a function of the refs across the league having a really crappy week, which they did. No, the refs are not going out of their way to target the team with the best record in basketball. This is not a small market versus a big market thing. I really doubt that Adam Silver is on the bat phone blowing up the refs and telling them, make sure you call more fouls on the Jazz so we can have Philadelphia beat Utah in the middle of the week in early March. What I'm saying is this. There is no Utah Jazz slander coming from the refs, period. There just isn't. The refs are not out to get you. They just sucked last week. Now, that said, there sure as hell was Utah Jazz slander last night. Not from the refs, but at the NBA All-Star Game draft. Now, let me be honest. The draft was a lot more entertaining than I expected. Although that was because LeBron was carrying most of the entertainment load because KD didn't exactly bring any entertainment to the proceedings last night. Yeah, I mean, there's not much point in breaking down rosters and all-star games and getting all worked up about that. I'm not going to do that. No, I don't need to do that because I have Giannis to do that for me. Because Giannis was the first pick in the draft and Giannis was pretty fired up to hear that he went first and to hear the rest of the guys that he would be running with on Team LeBron.
You know, you was the number one pick, Team LeBron.
Number one pick?
Yeah. man, you went to Team LeBron, looking forward to the All-Star break. Or just, I don't even know if you saw the team yet, but you was the number one pick.
No, I haven't been on my phone. Do I get a hat? Do I get something? Like, do I got to wear a suit now, being first overall?
Okay, so it's you and LeBron, obviously, and then Steph, Luka, and Jokic.
That's a starting five?
Yes.
Yeah, it's over, guys. Me, LeBron, Luka, Jokic, and Steph?
Yes.
Man, that's a good starting five. That's a good starting five.
My man, Giannis. Giannis is like eating as he's conducting that interview. This guy's 100% personality. Giannis is all it. Giannis is like the most engaging dude. And he's right. What a starting five. But, although Durant didn't give us that kind of personality, his crew is not exactly a bunch of scrubs. Durant's got Kyrie, Joel, Kawhi, Bradley Beal, and Jason Tatum. However, the real action came at the end of the draft because the one thing you know about a draft like this is nobody wants to be picked last. I mean, sure, it's an honor just to be a part of the game, but anybody who's good enough to be a part of the proceedings is already an alpha. And if you're good enough to get invited to the party, you have spent most of your life being the first one picked in everything. So nobody wants to go last. That is the ultimate insult, especially in a room full of alphas. So it came down to this. Three names left on the board. LeBron had to make a choice. LeBron was looking at Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, or Domantas Sabonis. LeBron had to make a call, and this is the move that he made.
Yeah, I got to get a little size. You know, I'm lacking a little size with my second group. So with my sixth pick, I'm going to go with Big Sabonis out of Indiana.
Psych! The ultimate deke job. So when he said he wanted size, naturally you're thinking he's going with Rudy Gobert, the Stifle Tower, the two-time Defensive Player of the Year, the dude from Salt Lake City. Get him in there. Get him blocking shots. Instead, LeBron went with Sabonis. At that point, if you're a Jazz fan or you're a Jazz player, you got to be thinking, what? There are three guys on the board. Two of them are from Utah. They've got the best record in the NBA. He wants size. And then he goes with Sabonis? What do you think they were thinking? I know exactly what Charles was thinking.
I'm not going for this Utah Jazz slander right now.
Me neither.
Come on, man.
They got the best record
in the NBA, and they two best players in the last two standings. This is slander, America.
Oh no.
Yeah, Shaq's not in your ear, is he? Come on, what's going on? Here we go.
Generally, as is the case, Chuck is right. I'm with Chuck. Man, that does feel like some Utah Jazz slander. The team with the best record in the NBA sends two guys to the All-Star game, and they're picked dead last. They were already bent over the fact that Mike Conley did not make the team, and now this? They were bent about Conley, they were bent about the officiating, and now the last two guys on the board are their guys. That is Utah Jazz slander. But then LeBron came in and he tried to explain it. And LeBron's point was, wait, hold up now. This is not about this year's Jazz team. It's actually about all of the Jazz teams. At least I think that's what LeBron was saying.
I just want to say something because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand. You guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
LeBron, this is a video game.
Hold on.
We got to leave it right there. You can say something.
LeBron says, I really need some size, and he got 7'5" Rudy Gobert,
right?
And he goes with 6'2" Sabonis. Are you kidding me? I need some size. Rudy Gobert is 7'5". He takes a 6'2" guy.
Nobody plays video games.
I just knew he was going to go back.
Yeah, I don't think that helped. And that is a pretty good point. I need size. I'll take a guy who's 6'2" instead of a guy who's 8'6". Anyway, people of Utah, like I said before, I'm here for you, and I've got your back. But if I'm hearing that correctly, what LeBron is saying is, it's not about the team, it's not about this year's team, it's about every Jazz team. Like, nothing against your guys. Guys, it's something against your guys forever. It's not about these guys, it's about every guy who's ever played there. I mean, like, there was no way LeBron or anybody was going to pick Utah in video games growing up, right? Didn't matter how good Stockton was. Didn't matter how good the mailman was. You were not rolling with them in NBA Jam. It's almost like that's what he's saying. Therefore, he can't pick them now either. To hear LeBron talk it, it sounds like he would have taken Washington's Tom Gugliotta. And don't get me wrong. I love Googs. Love Googs. But back in the day, he would have taken him and Harvey Grant or Brad Lohaus or Blue Edwards instead of playing with Utah. And apparently those old habits die hard. Now, you know what that sounds like? That sounds exactly like Utah Jazz slander. And Utah, you're going to hate hearing this because, frankly, I'm here for it. I like it. I really do. Suddenly, this game's got another level of juice. Suddenly, we've got a little salt around the edges of that drink. Because you know Donovan Mitchell saw that. And you know Rudy Gobert saw that. And you know they have to be pissed about that. I know Jazz fans saw that. And I know they're reacting. They were definitely taking notes. And speaking of, quote, take note. Man, don't let that be the hashtag. The hashtag for the rest of the year should be Jazz Slander. Hashtag Jazz Slander. Lean into it. Pull some fuel out of it. Let it power you the rest of the way. Hey, remember when I said the refs are not out to get you? They are. Everybody is. Everybody's out to get you, Salt Lake. Everybody's out to get you, Jazz fan. It's good. Lean into it. It's positive. This crew is already playing some elite basketball, and now they're going to feel like they're not getting respect. Not from the officials, not from their peers, not from LeBron, not from anybody. It really is you against the world. Jazz fan? So on the one hand, because I have your back, because I'm always here for you, I hate that it's happening to you, but I actually like it. Not only is this going to give us the juice that we need for the All-Star weekend, but it's going to carry the second half. Because LeBron just treated the Jazz the way I treat actual jazz music. Like, it sucks. Sorry, Rit, I know that's where you live. I know jazz heads hate that about me. I just hate your music. And I know there's a lot of really good stuff rooted in jazz. I just don't like it. That. Bad memories, my old man, dragging ass, dragging me all over the valley, the 818, to go antiquing and listen to his crap music. Bad memories. Good memories of my old man, but bad memories of that. Jazz fan, I'd love to tell you that you're not being disrespected, but you are. Not by the refs, per se. Definitely by LeBron. You got two All-Stars, and they were picked dead last, and you have the best record in the NBA. I'd ask you how that tastes. Or how that grabs you, but I already know. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in addition to that, on this Friday, I want to talk about one of the ultimate trolls. Normally that word has negative connotations, but there actually is a troll that I like a lot. And this guy's running this scam, and he's been running it for years, and it always seems to work. Always. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I mentioned that I'm going to bring back Big Head Betts. James Kelly is coming in next hour. We're going to hit that UFC card this weekend. Three title fights. I want to talk about the quarterback carousel in the NFL. NFL really, truly is the not-for-long league. Not for long. And even if you've been around for a long time and done really well, it's still savage. Speaking of Twitter, did you know that golf Twitter is a thing, apparently? We know about NBA Twitter. We know about NFL Twitter. We know about UFC Twitter for sure. I didn't know golf Twitter was a thing, but apparently it is. And I've got that too. Vincent Goodwill, Steve Keim, head, Sheldon Keefe, Toronto Maple Leafs head coach, is joining me in hour number three. Alvy's week that was. And a recap of my great conversation with a legend, Brian Shaw. Save big during O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. With great deals on socket sets, power tools, and more. If you are a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set and double O rewards points. Plus, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Do you need wiper blades? They can help you navigate their wide selection and find just the right wiper blades for your car and install them free of charge. They will even test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your car is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested or getting new wiper blades installed for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So who is the new guy? Oh, it's Alvy. Hello, Alvy. Welcome back. Dear Jim, we can totally relate to the Jazz players' draft selection placement for the NBA All-Star teams. We are from Utah. We also got picked last. Sincerely, non-clip-on ties, short-sleeve shirts in any color but white, and wife number 13 and 14. Den Lusk's avid bike rider. Like, dude, it's just really irresponsible and not funny at all. Polygamy smack. Missionary smack. I mean, just come on, dude. I'm not even being funny, Den Lusk's. I'm not being funny in saying that you're not funny at all. Man, come on, man. Do better. That actually just kind of pisses me off. Hey, Rome. Happy Nash. If that's what your intent was, Den Lusk's, success. Success. It worked. Hey, Rome. Happy National Employee Appreciation Day. My favorite way to show appreciation to university employees is taking them for a car ride and Frenching them. Regards, Les Miles. Vadi? Welcome back, Vadi. Where you been? Yeah, I'm not sure that that's exactly what he did. Maybe. Possibly. Does not reflect well on him at all, Ali. All right, anybody else? 1-800-636-8686. You want to get up and get involved here. Les Miles. In addition to that, that was not a topic I put out there, but as I always say to you, if there's something that I did not get to that you want me to get to, you go right ahead. In addition to that, I do want to talk about Alvin's week that was. That is the end of the program. Make note of that. Alvin may work 4 days a week, but he recaps all 5 days. He's good like that. So we will have that in hour three. I've got an interview coming up next segment with Vincent Goodwill. So let's go to the phones. First stop today is Colorado. Matt in Colorado. Oh, by the way, we're not giving anything away today. When I rolled in here, every line was popping. Every line was banging, even before I started. So I knew that had to be a product of yesterday's giveaway. Yesterday's giveaway was yesterday's giveaway. That was your shot. That's why I hit it so hard then. Sorry about that. Nothing free today except for the call. Let's go to Colorado. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Good, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to drop a theory on you on why the Jazz are getting slandered. I think it might have to do something with the coughs heard around the world last year when Rudy Gobert lit up all the microphones with COVID. And maybe this is backlash for that.
Oh, so you think that because, all right, thank you very much, Matt. So if I'm understanding your theory properly, you think that this is payback for Rudy Gobert shutting down the NBA when he touched and coughed into all the microphones? Yeah, I don't think so, Matt. I'm pretty sure that we were dealing with a pandemic. I don't think that Rudy Gobert was the only guy walking around with the COVID virus. And then he shared it with some others, including his teammates. And that's why we are where we are right now. And this is LeBron taking matters into his own hands and paying him back. Now, I'm pretty sure that a pandemic is a pandemic. That it's international in scope. So, no, I don't think that's what that is. I don't really know why he did what he did. Maybe he really thinks what a lot of people think, that they're not that good. That neither one of those two guys are superstars. Maybe. I don't know. Do you really think that LeBron said, hey, yo, somebody, anybody got KD's digits? Yeah, give them to me. Share his contact with me. Yo, KD, Bron. Yo, what up, player? Hey, listen, man, I got an idea. You know how Rudy Gobert screwed all of us when he coughed into those mics and touched them all? Yeah, let's make sure those two guys are both picked last. Oh, dude, don't worry. I wasn't going to pick them anyway. Good. Me neither. Good plan. See you tomorrow. Yeah, nice theory, but no, I'm not buying it. I'm not really sure why those two were picked last. They're nice players. What I'm saying is, Jazz fan, flip it on its head. Don't get all butthurt about that. Don't take everything so personally. Don't act like the world's out to get you. Or better yet, act like the world is out to get you. But turn that thing on its head, convert it into fuel, and use it to your advantage. You know what? I take it back. They are out to get you. The refs are out to get you. Braun's out to get you. The world's out to get you. Everybody's out to get you. Nobody respects you. You've got the best record in the NBA. And where did that get you? Not respect from the refs. Best record in the NBA. Where did that get you? Two All-Stars, not three. And those two All-Stars were the last ones picked. And not by the fans. And not by some journalists who don't know what they're talking about, but by the GOAT or one of them. It's a good thing, Jazz fan. Use it. Use it. I know I am. It's making All-Star Weekend more interesting to me. It's making the second half of the year more interesting to me. You're right. They're out to get you. Use it. When we come back, somebody who does know that league very well, a senior NBA writer for Yahoo, Vincent Goodwill. That's next. In fact, we're going back-to-back. That's why I told you to get in here. Back-to-back interviews. Vincent Goodwill and then Steve Keim, top of hour number two. The big head, James Kelly's back with some betting, gambling information, a way to get paid. That's coming up later on today. Right now, it is time for a sports update, and here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday is an ATP day where you clones get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit your question, listen later on, I might answer yours, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rome, thank goodness COVID was not around when I was Frenching employees. Signed, Les Miles. Aaron in Beacon Hill. Again, I'm not making light of these allegations at all. At all. There's no but. There's no qualification. I'm just not making light of those allegations. That's not something you want to make light of. However, I will make light of one thing that you all seem to have picked up on. You're not accusing him of, quote, making out with co-eds, but rather Frenching co-eds. Hate to admit it, but it's kind of a great phrase, isn't it? Hey, look at those two, man. They're Frenching. They're not making out. They're Frenching. Vic in NoCal is in, quote, LeBron is playing the long game. He's dropping some Connor v. Aldo level psychological warfare on Utah in advance of their looming fight in the Western Conference Finals.
Who, me?
Yeah, but what if it backfires? But it might work. All right, more on that in just one moment. And by one moment, I mean right now. We are joined by a senior writer for Yahoo. Previously covered the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. He covered the Pistons for the Detroit News. He is still the pride of Detroit. He is Vincent Goodwill. Vincent, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Great to have you back. Thanks so much. I want to start here. You had a great, great tweet last night. And I quote, Karl Malone has been retired for nearly 20 years, and he is the sole reason people don't rock with the Utah Jazz. It's amazing. End of tweet. Personally, I love the guy. This is a big Karl Malone house. But what do you make of the Utah Jazz slander and LeBron's explanation that nobody picked the Jazz in video games growing up?
Well, as someone who is LeBron's age, I can confirm that nobody picked the Utah Jazz in right. NBA Live or the early days of NBA 2K. I mean, look, I think whenever you think of the Utah Jazz from a brand standpoint, you think of Karl Malone and John Stockton and Jerry Sloan. And by and large, I don't really have a huge problem with Jerry Sloan or even John Stockton, even for John Stockton's kind of, you know, toeing the line a little bit. But Karl Malone is not a hill I'm willing to die on for anybody or any reason whatsoever. One of the dirtiest players in the league. And because of that, Jim, that reputation that sort of spilled on to various iterations of the Jazz from this point on. Remember the whole Derek Fisher thing when they let him out of his contract and how the fans treated him on his way back. But honestly, I think this is small-town gripes from every team that sort of lets you in on what's happening in their locker room. Whenever they lose a game that they feel like they should win, and they say everybody's hosing us, nobody wants us to win. And if you're a small town team, that's kind of like this, you know, confirmation bias thing where you feel like you're getting hosed. They got hosed against Philadelphia. I'll completely agree with you there. But by and large, I don't think anybody's sitting around saying, you know what, who should we host today? The Utah Jazz.
Vincent Goodwill is joining us. You know, we're talking about Hall of Famers now, Karl Malone, John Stockton, but they were chippy, man. They were very, very chippy. And to your point, they towed the line. They were right on the line. They were off and over the line. That was a very, very chippy team, but they were great. Now, what do you think about this? Now, their complaints about the officiating in Philadelphia, you just addressed that. How do you think overall, though, they respond to the Utah Jazz slander? Will they use this to their advantage? Is it going to mean anything at all to them?
I think they're setting the stage for the playoffs. Like, if this were some, like, a veteran move sort of thing, like the coach was to say in the locker room, you know what, guys, nobody wants us to win. And everybody says, yeah, you're right. And they go out there and they say that to the press. And it becomes this narrative. And it becomes this rallying cry for a team that needs something. Because if you think about it, aside from Rudy Gobert being, you know, patient zero, we don't really have an identity for the Utah Jazz. And it's not a negative thing. We just know they play good defense. They play really smart. They're well coached. But we don't know them to be anything as far as a brand of something identifiable that the rest of the league can sort of, you know, hold on to or fans can hold on to. Now, they are the team that got hosed, essentially. And that's what they're going to walk into every arena for the rest of the season and say, and as soon as the playoffs start, they're going to start banging this drum all over again, especially when you think about the fact that they're going to have to play maybe Golden State in the first round, maybe Denver in the second round, maybe the Lakers in the conference finals. What better way to get the attention of the league than to do it early as opposed to game three in the series where maybe you're down 2-1 after a bad call goes against you? Maybe you just grease the skids a little bit early.
I would like to reiterate a line that you just had that you probably are not going to get enough credit for, but the fact that the Utah Jazz do not have an identity other than Rudy Gobert is patient zero. It's a strong line. Vincent Goodwill is joining us. I want to make sure that I accentuate that. Listen, another point that you made last night that I do want to pick up on, and that's the fact that LeBron accepts the title of ambassador for the sport. And you tweeted, quote, embraces it, brings the proper energy, end quote. How much of a responsibility is that? And lay it out for me. How significant is that?
It's huge. And I think it's something we take for granted because LeBron has been this way for so long. It's kind of like this accepted thing that we truly don't think about. But when you think about the statesman of the game, and honestly, when I was looking at it, Jim, last night, I was looking at LeBron being engaging and smiling and everything else. And Kevin Durant looked like he could rather be anywhere else
right
in the world. And that's not a shot per se at Kevin Durant. But if you want to be acknowledged as the best player, as the guy, there's certain things you have to lean into a little bit more. You got to give the public a little bit more of something as opposed to, oh, I didn't really think about who I picked and this doesn't really mean anything. Like, if you want the fans to care about a game, especially a game like this, then you have to give off the appearance that you give a damn yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're asking the fans, you're asking the league to invest in you, not just your play, but you as a person, not necessarily you as a brand, but you as a personality, you as someone with personality, with thoughts. And I think that is so critical in the way that LeBron has made it look so easy. And I have a lot of gripes with LeBron, you know, on the floor, off the floor, whatever, not like in a negative way, but he's not a perfect human being. And I can, you know, you can dissect some of the things that he's done and criticize them. But as a statesman of the league, as someone who's promoting the game of basketball in a healthy way, nobody can take anything away from that.
No, in that sense, I agree with you. For instance, if there's enough pressure that comes along and enough responsibility that comes along with being the face of a franchise, multiply that by 100, and then you have the pressure that comes along with being the face of the entire league. And to your point about Kevin Durant, like, if you don't really give a damn about it, don't expect me to either. So when you talk about LeBron, Vincent, really quickly, like, when you say, like, he's not perfect, I mean, I've got gripes with this guy either on or off the floor. If I were to say to you, give me one gripe you have with LeBron, what would it be?
I mean, when you say a gripe, I just think that there's this narrative that's been formed where whenever LeBron's team loses, it's everybody else's fault. And whenever he wins, no matter who else he has around, it's because of his singular greatness, when by and large everything that is formed around him is formed to accentuate his best talents, which a lot of times can win, but it's almost like this. He's in the ultimate win-win situation, and I think those discussions deserve a little bit more nuance as opposed to just saying, hey, LeBron is the greatest player ever without fault. And we can't have these discussions about how these teams are formed and everything else. Like, those are the things I'm talking about. Not anything major. I like how he's doing things as far as, you know, activism, using his voice and everything else. Even how he comes across as a father in today's age. Like, there's so many positive, great things about him. We're talking about basketball. Yeah, we can nitpick a little bit.
I get that. I agree with you. There are some nuances involved. Vincent Goodwill is joining us. All right, you've got another piece up right now on Yahoo about James Harden that I thought was really interesting. James Harden is flourishing right now with Brooklyn. He would have you believe that, hey, I'm the exact same guy. I'm not doing anything different. I'm doing what I've always done. This is who I am. Is that the way it seems to you?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I think when you're the face of the franchise and the team is built around your personality and your habits, and everything that you stand for as an athlete, that's a lot of weight to carry. And there's only so many guys who can actually do that, perform on the floor, and have sort of cultivate this environment of accountability, and everybody can sort of rally around them. I'm not sure if James Harden is that type of guy to lead. Now, can he be the next guy in the locker room that doesn't have to carry all that weight, play the way that he plays, and have it be in such a way where he can play the exact same way, Jim, and I think he is playing the exact same way, but the pie is smaller. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have access to everything because he's playing with a better player in Kevin Durant, even though they've only played seven games together. That team is rightfully built around Kevin Durant, and James Harden is a player who is built around that, as opposed to we're just going to accentuate everything else to be around James Harden, and everything else is a supplemental piece. James Harden is a supplemental piece. There's nothing wrong with that because Magic Johnson, up until 1987, was a supplemental piece to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and still won two NBA Finals MVPs until they turned the team over to him. So I think some people take it as a negative, but I think there's some great players who've been supplemental pieces in other ways and still have been able to shine and develop their own identity within the team construct.
Scottie Pippen.
I'm from Detroit, so you can. I'm a person that slanders Scottie Pippen pretty frequently. I'm the person who says that Michael Jordan is so great that he went into the Hall of Fame as two players, himself and Scottie Pippen.
Vincent Goodwill is joining us right now. I guess when you get right down to then, I'm asking the question in a sense that if KD is a legitimate number one, LeBron obviously is a legitimate number one. I would argue that James Harden is a number one but can play a number two there because KD is there. How many legitimate true number ones are there in the NBA?
Now, when we say number one, I mean number one as in as soon as I say his name, we're saying I can win a championship with this guy depending on what's around. That's basically, we're only saying like three guys. We're saying LeBron. We're saying Steph Curry. We're saying Kevin Durant. I think Luka Doncic is entering that conversation. I think Jokic is entering that conversation. I think Embiid is entering that conversation. Other than that, all of these guys are still, I'll say, great players. Even Kawhi Leonard, when he's completely healthy and engaged and everything else. But there's only about five or six of those guys in the league at a given time. It doesn't mean that everybody else is trash or that Giannis can't be MVP or anything else. But until you show it in that way that, you know, the way that I play can win at the highest level and beat another team's best player playing this way with me as the number one guy, until I actually see that, I can't put you in that conversation.
Now, I guarantee, Vincent, there are some people listening right now that are hearing some of the things you're saying and saying, man, exactly, 100%. And there are some people saying, man, that is so wrong, like they do about me every single day and half for the last 25 years. But this is what I respect about you and the way you go about your craft. You're not afraid of bold stances. Another example, you're not a fan of Peeps, the marshmallow candy. What is your message to people who eat and actually like Peeps?
Now, I come from a house where people have eaten Peeps and have told them that to their face, Jim Rome, that they were terrorists. People who eat Peeps along with candy corn are terrorists.
Okay, I think we have to make a distinction between Peeps and candy corn, all right? Candy corn is strong. Peeps are ass.
Jim, you might just be a terrorist.
Hmm. I don't know, man. I don't know what it is, like the divisiveness and the polarization of candy corns, man. People do not like the corn, and I'm all about the corn. Peeps are ass, though. I'm not coming off that. They're terrible. They're terrible. But
you're halfway there. You're halfway there.
All right, that's better than not being anywhere near there. He is a senior writer for Yahoo. He covered the Bulls for NBC Sports Chicago. He covered the Pistons for the Detroit News. He is the pride of the D. Vincent, have a great weekend. Great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Hey, appreciate you, Jim. Thanks
appreciate
again,
appreciate you. Thank you. I like it. It's good content. Yeah, I agree about Peeps. I was going to say I'm not a huge candy guy, which, I mean, I'm not anti-candy. Eat more sugar than I should. I'm one of those guys trying to get it out, trying to purge myself of that crap, trying to stay out of the pantry for no other reason. The only reason I've been having this conversation with myself quite a bit lately, I should never, ever go into the pantry for any other reason other than to feed the cats. That's where the cat food is. But that's also where the crap is, man. That's where the sugar is. That's where the bad stuff is. But I'm not all about candy, but there is some candy that works for me. Not Peeps. I don't get that at all. But candy corn, man, that candy corn is not a reason to go. For a lot of people, it seems to be a reason to go. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so as we get ready for hour number two, I've got Steve Keim coming up next. Arizona out of nowhere to get J.J. Watt. We'll discuss how that went down. Steve Keim joins me at the top of the hour or in about 7 minutes from right now. James Kelly coming up next hour. Sheldon Keefe is the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Alvin. Thank you very much. That's at 11:20 if you're curious of exactly when that's going to start. Alvin's Week That Was coming up. The ATP and a whole lot more. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, one phone line is open, and we will come back. That's hour number one. Steve Keim joins me next.